Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of Scottish Football Covered. Slightly different type of episode that we've got for you today. We're going to be reviewing the league campaign that has just came to a close over the weekend, going through our favourite players, favourite moments, and some of our worst moments of the season. But in bigger news, I'll start off with who I'm joined by. I'm joined with Stefan Carlin and our newest member of the podcast, Dominic McColgan. Dominic, how are you, mate? And do you want to tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Thanks. Thanks a lot, guys. Name's Dominic. I'm a just graduated journalist. Graduated last year. Studied at UWS. Primarily like freelance at the moment. Done a few wee bits and pieces for like a Celtic fan media called the Celts Are Here. And I am just trying to obviously build up my CV like a lot of people are nowadays.
Great, well, glad to have you on. Stefan, same question to you. How are you? And are you looking forward to this weekend's cup final?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. It's been a couple of weeks since, you know, been on. But no, it's been good. This weekend set up to be a good week. Aberdeen obviously coming off the back of that defeat to Dundee United. Celtic obviously off the back of that last-minute draw against St Mirren. So should be an interesting cup final.
No, absolutely. I think everyone's expecting Celtic to win, but it's just as cliche as it is, it's a cup final, anything can happen. But moving away from the cup final, we're going to look back on the season that's just happened. I'm going to quickly run through the final league table. Obviously, Celtic in first, they'd after the league title weeks ago. Rangers in second. Hibernian confirmed third on match week 37, but the most interesting point, probably the last day, especially in the top half of the table, Dundee United ended up finishing fourth and Aberdeen finished fifth, which ensued a bit of a riot. I don't know if we're going to touch on that, but it's not the scenes that we like to see. And St Mirren, in the end, were unlucky to finish sixth. They ended up unbeaten that whole post-split run, which is fantastic for them and Stephen Robinson. In the bottom half of the table, Hearts finished 7th, Motherwell 8th, Kilmarnock survived in 9th, Dundee with a late survival by the way to Ross, wait, St Johnstone, I beg your pardon, they finished 10th, Ross County occupy that playoff spot, they'll play Livingston over two legs to secure their premiership status, and St Johnstone end their 15-year stay in the premiership as they go down in 12th. Stefan, I'm going to start with you, mate. I'll start with the champions, Celtic. It was, at times, an absolute blistering season. But going into this summer, is there anywhere in particular they think they need to improve to probably make more of a dent in Europe and keep hold of their potentially three crowns next season?
I think it's going to be an interesting summer for Celtic. I think the biggest thing needs to be the focus. They need to get a striker. Adam Ida came in £9 million from Norwich. I've tried my hardest to sort of say that, you know, he's the answer to the Kyogo question. You can say he scored 20 goals in a season, and that's what a striker at Celtic should be doing. But 20 goals for a guy that cost you £9 million, just don't think you're quite getting the, you know, the fruits of your hard work, the fruits of your labour even. So for me, striker has to be on the board for where we're looking at. Probably need to strengthen in the wings, just when you obviously have a player like Daizen Maeda, you've got Kuhn, you've got Jota, you've got Forrest. With Jota being out, I think Celtic just need to maybe just strengthen there, and probably need to focus in on getting another centre half in, because alongside Carter, Vickers, he's had quite a few partners this season. Navrotsky, Trusty and Scales have all to a degree done the job, but I don't know, Carter, Vickers and Starfelt is still the, you know, one of the best centre-back pairings I think Celtic have had in probably the last 10 years, and it's nice to just have that consistent back line rather than changing here, there and everywhere. I do think centre half is going to be an interesting area for Celtic, because I wouldn't be surprised if Cameron Carter-Vickers was potentially off in the summer, probably his last chance to get a big move. So that's going to be a really key area for Celtic. But otherwise, that midfield, Kieran Tierney coming in at left back and Alistair Johnston at right back. The only thing you would want is people to be competing for places. Time's up for me for Ralston, has been probably for a long time, and doesn't look like Greg Taylor signing a new contract, if you go by his Instagram post. So probably need to look at getting a backup left back. But other than that, should be an interesting season, summer for Celtic, in time for those qualifiers in well, qualifier in August.
No, I think the Celtic's a bit of an anomaly because it's not about so much who they bring in. Often the conversation's so much about how they need to keep. But moving on from Celtic, Dominic, I feel bad. I'm asking you who Rangers should bring in. I probably should have eased you in with the Celtic question, but obviously they're looking for a new manager this summer. In the news today, it's Steven Gerrard or Russell Martin. It seems to be boiled down to. Who do you think they should get for, first of all, the dugout, and then any particular position they need to strengthen to challenge Celtic to get at least a little bit more next season?
I mean, I feel like a lot of teams nowadays are going backwards. Like, obviously, Celtic had done it with, Brendan Rodgers, because obviously it was a formula that worked, so they brought him back. And maybe Rangers are thinking, right, Steven Gerrard did help them win the league title, even though it took them like a good 3 4 years before they got to that stage. So maybe that's what they're thinking. In terms of players, I think they're already kind of making moves in terms of like Cameron from Dundee. I know he's coming in, but I would say probably defence would be their biggest area to maybe look at. I don't think Proper's lived up to expectations, but then you could say arguably quite a few of the areas are needing improvement. I know quite a few of their loan players are going back to their clubs. I seen it there on Twitter. I can't remember the boy's name. He came from Lille. I think he was one of their, like a left back or a right back.
Fernandez, wasn't it?
Fernandez. I think he's. It was just announced there. He's expected to go back to Lille. So they'll be looking at areas there, and then also who knows what's happening with the likes of Tav, because Tav's getting older as well. So I think there is like a big. But then they've been saying it for a couple of years. It's a big rebuilding job at Rangers, including at, I mean, I know it's probably a controversial thing to say, but I think Dessers has done pretty well this season, despite I know a lot of fans will be, annoyed about his, there's big chances that he should take and he misses them. He takes the harder chances and he misses the easier ones. But being top goal scorer, I think there's been a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and he's still came out with 18 goals in a league. But maybe someone to help him up top would be maybe a good move for the club.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely transitional summer. I think that's the best way to describe it for Rangers. Where you hear that word rebuild around Rangers at a time, no better time to start a rebuilding with a new manager. And for once, it's going to be in the summer. So often, Rangers get a new manager mid-season and it just sort of disrupts any sort of momentum they kind of have or don't have. Moving further down the table, Hearts, they're getting that £10 million investment for Tony Bloom. If you're believe what's read in the paper. Stefan, they're another team that's well, they've actually just appointed a new manager in the last few days. They've confirmed the appointment of Derek McInnes. Who do you think he's got to bring in to get Hearts back stable and back into the top six? And what's your general feeling about Derek McInnes becoming Hearts manager as a whole?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Hearts had a really good season the season prior. Lauren Shankland, scoring left, right, and centre. This season hasn't really done it. After the departure of Neil Critchley, he started to grab a few goals. I think their biggest thing is who they hold on to. I know George Grant's live in the club. It'll be an interesting one to see if Shankland does stay with Hearts. He is our captain. He is their main man. It'll be an interesting one to see if he can stay. I think that's probably going to be the biggest thing for Hearts this season, this summer, is can they hold on to him? Because despite having an offish season by his standards, he's still the main man for them. So for them, I think the most important thing is to keep him tied down. In terms of Derek McInnes, tried and tested. He's done it with Aberdeen. He's done it with Kilmarnock. He's now going to do it with Hearts. I just feel Scottish football sometimes lets itself down because we consistently go around the merry-go-round of managers that have managed in Scotland. When's Craig Levein's name going to get thrown up for a job, or a Derek Adams, or a Miksu Patalainen, and what when are the classic names going to get thrown back around? I just think we never go for anything adventurous. I think people will say, "Well, we went for Neil Critchley. He wasn't an advent. He was an adventurous candidate." Or when they went for Angelo Alesso at Kilmarnock, he wasn't your typical run-of-the-mill Scottish candidate. But I just think, it's the same guys. It's the same sort of bowling club mentality that clubs seem to let themselves down with. Is they just go for standard, whereas they don't go for anything too ambitious. But get both sides of it. I think for Hearts, it is a strong appointment. I think he'll make Hearts a very hard team to beat. But yeah, it'll be an interesting one. What about yourself? What do you think, Mike?
I quite like it. It's not showing the sort of ambition that like it's going to take Hearts to the next level that they've not got to before. But I think what Hearts need at the minute is stability, and there's no better. I think if you're going to run that run-of-the-mill Scottish manager, there's no better manager than Derek McInnes, in my opinion, to get you that stability. I think he showcased that with Aberdeen, and then I think he was building a bit of a nice platform with Kilmarnock. I know this season didn't quite go to plan, but for me, I'm quite impressed with it. I think Hearts have had a lot worse managers in the past, and this, I think Derek McInnes will shape up to be one of the better ones. They've went with a bit of inexperience with Stephen Naismith, even to some extent Neil Critchley as well. So I think this is the, I think he's the right guy at the right time. Silverware, though, there's question marks. He only won one trophy, even in that golden period with Aberdeen. So, and the league's only getting harder. That was probably when the Scottish League was probably at its worst. So there's no one can tell the future with it. But if I was a Hearts fan, I'd be quietly impressed with it. But moving on from Hearts, we're going to talk about the side that just got promoted, Falkirk. Dominic, I don't know if you watched a lot of the Championship this season, but Falkirk were a team that really impressed me when I watched them on Friday nights. I know Scott Arfield's out of contract in the summer. I don't know if he's discussed a longer deal, but do you think he's a guy they've got to pen down for at least another season? And if there's anyone else you think them, or even Livingston, if they get promoted, need to sign to keep themselves up next season?
He's got experience, doesn't he, with Rangers. I think that's one guy that you could say, right, he's got experience in the top flight. Obviously he's came in and he's done pretty well since he's arrived at Falkirk. Needless to say, it's because of his age. Will he be able to replicate that in the Premiership? It's kind of hard to say. I think he would. But no, I was impressed with how, I mean, Falkirk were pretty much flying in the Championship. But then I feel like, I don't know if it's the same with yourselves, but I feel, and it's maybe controversial to say, but some teams, when they come up from the Championship to the Premiership, there's not much of a difference maybe between the bottom two or three teams in the Premiership, with maybe the top one or two from the Championship. I feel like that's what makes it more competitive, and it allows teams like Livingston and Falkirk to come up and, try and make a good impression of themselves.
No, I agree with that. I think there's not so much difference in quality for the bottom three of the Premiership and the better sides of the Championship. And I think that's kind of the beauty of the playoffs. I think Livingston have actually got a bit of a chance just because they've got that sort of winning feel about them, and Ross County certainly don't. So, no, I'm excited to watch Falkirk. They were really good at Celtic Park earlier in the season, and then I think to get back-to-back promotions is a definite good feel about the place. But that's enough about next season. We're going to go back to this season. I'm just going to go, well, this is going to be the easiest question I think I'm going to ask you so far. Stefan and I'll just go with you, Stefan, first. Quickly play the season because I know who's going to be.
Dyson Maeda. I think he's had a phenomenal season at Celtic. He scored some key goals in key games, and for me, it's just been he's been at the club now for since 2022. He's racked up some amount of goals. Legend says he's still running at the moment. He'll be running around his gaff, you know, hoovering away. The guy just embodied everything that Ange brought him to the club for. He never stops. So for me, for this season, he's been the man to beat, and no one has. So yeah, for me, he's my player of the season.
Which leads me on to my next question for you. Your player this season that's not Dyson Maeda? That's for you, Stefan.
Can I be really contentious?
Go for it.
Cyril Dessers.
That
I
is
know
really contentious.
people are going to say that, you know, he scores the world-class ones and he misses the easiest ones, but I think he's had a great goal-scoring season for them. He's did he not finish top goal scorer in the league? In the Premiership, that is. I'm going to just double check my facts. Are there a wee VAR factual overturn? We'll see in a second. Pretty sure I've seen that yesterday, but I think he's had it's been a terrible season for Rangers, but you know, he's bagged them quite a lot of goals outside of them. Some might say Simon Murray, but I don't know. He's been there for Rangers. So I'm going to say it. I'm going to be contentious with it. I'm going to say it. And just I'm gonna double check.
Yeah, he's top scorer by 2 goals. End up with 18 in the end. Dyson Maeda only had 16.
Okay,
So you're right to say that.
so I am. I'm gonna stick with that.
Dominic, same question at you. I'm under the assumption you're going to say Dyson Maeda for player of the season. So if Dyson Maeda wasn't playing this season, who's your player? Who else would be your player of the season?
Yeah, Maeda's had an amazing season. I was gonna, you know, I was actually kind of, I would have said Kuhn, see if he kept going like he did at the first half of the season, you know, with how well he played, you know, especially in the Champions League and all. I know he's still got decent numbers this season with goals and assists, but see if he hadn't just kind of like, you know, like, went down a wee bit in his form. I know he had an injury and whatnot, but I would have said Kuhn, but I'm going to say the same as Stefan and say Cyril Dessers. Obviously, with 18 goals this season. And when I looked at his stats overall, he's got 109 appearances in all competitions, and he's got 51 goals and 16 assists, and that's in 2 seasons at Rangers. And I think that's, you know, quite an unbelievable record. Considering I know he gets a lot of stick, and I know at times I think it's because of they're depending on him, and it's solely because of the situation they're in. I think if they had another striker, I know they've got like Danilo and stuff, but he's not scoring as many as what they'd like. I think if they had another striker beside them that was scoring just as many goals, there wouldn't be as much pressure on him. But yeah, I would same as Stefan, I would say Cyril Dessers would be my pick for the player of the year.
Mac, I'm going to ask you the question. Because I'm going to assume you're going to say Dyson Maeda for player of the season. Who's your pick outside of that?
Well, it's not a hat trick for Cyril Dessers. I'm going to say, well, I'm going to say if it, I don't think Cyril Dessers has been the best player for Rangers out. If it was going to be a Rangers player, I think it would be Nico Raskin, but my player of the season that's not Dyson Maeda because it would be him is kind of bog standard. I'm going to go Callum McGregor. I think he's turned up. He's been Mr. Consistent from game week 1 to game week 38, and that's why he's the guy with the captain's armband lifting the trophy at the end of the season. So I totally understand your argument for Cyril Dessers, and I think there's a strong I would personally think there's a stronger argument for Nico Raskin, but for me, Callum McGregor's just been so consistent in the amount of games he's played, not just this season but years before, that he would be my player of the season personally. That's not
Okay.
Dyson either.
I mean, yeah, no, that, I mean, that's a fair candidate, I would say. It's not a bad choice.
I'm going to move the question on. Similar vein of form, I think we all might say the same person again, but I'll start with you, Stefan, again. Gonna go for a young player this season. I have a feeling you're gonna say the same person as me, but if there's a few others that you're considering, then please do share.
So it was down to a couple. James Wilson was up there, because I think he's had a really good season at Hearts. Scored got a couple of key goals. I know he got sent off a couple of weeks ago. He was in there, but my player of this young player of the season, undoubtedly Lennon Miller. No doubt about it. He's had a fantastic season at Motherwell. I think early on in the season we were consistently saying about how great he was being, the performances he had, he was playing very much well above his age. He got his call up to the national team. Some people questioned his mentality a little bit when he said that he thinks he can be the, you know, one of the best players in the Scotland squad in no time. People kind of kicked him down for that and sort of kind of trotted over that mentality. I personally love that from him. Hopefully he can continue that. But you know, for Motherwell, he's been their main man all season. So for me, it's Lennon Miller.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just spoil mine now. I'm going to say Lennon Miller as well. It's just so easy to forget that he's only 18. Like Motherwell, is he? I don't know if he's official Motherwell captain or they've just had the armband for a while. Obviously, you have aforementioned Scotland Calla call up, I beg your pardon. But yeah, I don't think it could be anyone else. But Dominic, do you mean Stefan, or is there anyone else that you think it could be?
Seeing some of these performances, yeah, I agree. But when I was writing this list, you know, there was quite a few other names, and maybe their stats are maybe a wee bit better if you're looking at it from a stat perspective. Lyle Cameron from Dundee, 33 games, 9 goals, eight assists, sorry, which I think is an amazing turnaround for such a young player. Adewumi from who's also from Dundee. I know he's only there on loan, but he's only like 20, and he's got played 28 games, 4 goals. Some of these appearances, especially against the likes of the Old Firm, I think he's got 2 goals, one against Rangers, once one against Celtic, and then obviously there's, I don't know if Aguiman would maybe come under that now. I don't know if he's at the age bracket for the young player of the year, but he's got 14 goals, which I still think is impressive. So, but yeah, I would agree with Lennon Miller because of his age and how, you know, how he's playing already this season. And it's going to be interesting to see where he goes, if he's going to be at Motherwell or if he goes to, if he stays in Scotland to like a Rangers or Celtic, or if he goes down south. It's going to be an interesting couple of months.
No, I think everybody's waiting with bated breath to see where Lennon Miller's going to go. I like the Adewumi shout. I think from what I've watched, and it is not a lot. I think I've only really watched his performances in 90 minutes against Celtic and Rangers, but he's looked a bit of a live wire. I know it. I think he's on loan from Burnley, so he'll probably not be playing for Dundee next year. And Lyle Cameron, I think Lyle Cameron's a great shout. There's no wonder he's going to Rangers. I think he was nominated for the award last year and just fell short to David Watson. But moving on from players, we're going to go to moments of individual brilliance. We're going to move to a Goal of the Season award. I'll start off with mine. There's been a lot of goals. I think Goal of the Season is completely subjective. It's do you prefer a team goal, a solo strike, a long ranger? For me, just for the guy who scored it, it's. I feel as if I'm just saying Celtic players for every award, but I'm going for Cameron Carter-Vickers because for a set that goal against Kilmarnock, I think just before the split, it was for a set and a half to do that from that distance. And a guy who hardly ever scores from headers at corners or anything, I think it surprised everybody in Celtic Park. It was one of the ones you could hear in the crowd just how shocking it was for everyone watching it and even the players' reaction. So for me, Cameron Carter-Vickers wraps up goal of the season. Stefan, Kat, is that the same for you, or do you have another goal?
I'm so raging you've said that because that was mine. That was an unbelievable effort. Literally flew out my seat when I seen it. I was like, from a centre back, you don't expect to see kickers like that. And now you nearly burst the net with it. That was going to be mine. Human, you've taken that.
I'll change mine still to keep still keeping the Celtic fiend. I'll let you have that. I think it's kind of went under the radar just because he left. But I'll go Kyogo against Rangers in the first derby of the season. I think I've not seen a finish like that. It's like never left the ground from about 25, 30 yards and still rode it. The goalkeeper's questionable, but I think the intelligence as well. That can be my one. I'll let you have the Cameron Carter-Vickers one. Dominic, have you got a goal this season? Maybe not by a Celtic player or a Celtic just scoring all the best goals this season.
Some people will think I'm an Eggman fan, but that one he scored against Celtic at Celtic Park, surrounded by two or three defenders, and how he took it down, and then he scored, especially for to be the winning goal. You have to, especially with his age as well, in a hostile environment like Celtic Park. I would have to give it to Eggman, and I agree that Carter-Vickers' goal, he's probably never going to score another goal like it in his life, but. It's like a thunderbolt. But to give it to somebody else apart from a Celtic player, I would say Eggman should be up there for it. There's probably other goals as well, but Eggman's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think as soon as the ball just kind of broke for him, I know there was, I think, surrounded by Johnson and Vickers, and as soon as you just seen him line up to shoot, you just kind of knew exactly where it's going because it's the type of strike we've came accustomed to associating with Hamza Egerman. But going from biggest strikes, we're going to move on to a bit of a controversial award, and I'm not going to answer this first because I want yous to get all the hate and all the heat. We're going to go biggest flop. Flop of the season. Stefan, is there anyone you were completely underwhelmed with this season that had, or any team, any player, any particular one-off performance?
Do you know what? See, when I seen this in this question, I kind of raised it. I was like, who do I want to give this to? I'm going to give this as a collective. It's not one person. It is a team. I want to give it to Aberdeen because that rise they had in the first half of the season was incredible. That unbeaten run was exceptional. Ever since that defeat at Hampden to Celtic and they lost 6-0. That barren run of games that they then went on was just, chaotic. It was a total catastrophe, and it saw them jump from second to fifth. That is the biggest fumble this season that I have seen. Everyone was hailing Jimmy Tillien. People were saying, he's gonna take Celtic the whole way. They're gonna give this title race. It's gonna be between them two, and no one else will get close to them. And now they've fumbled it, and it's incredible because you see where Hibs were when Aberdeen were on that run, and now you see where Hibs have finished. Yeah, for me, I'm gonna give it to the collective group, and I'm gonna give it to Aberdeen FC. And there's probably two people that I know that are probably gonna be a little bit miffed at that, but. Facts are facts.
I think I seen someone as if they echoed, I think it was Cammy on TikTok, or it might have been someone else, if they echoed Dundee's form from a certain period, like from the, I can't remember the exact period, they would have got fourth, no, they would have got third. If they echoed St Johnstone's from an even further period, they would have got fourth at least. It just shows you how terrible they were on the form table. But Steph, I'm going to go back to you. I know you're quite right to say they are probably the biggest flop considering how high they were. If they won the Scottish Cup on Saturday, would it be a successful season?
It's like I think that's the same kind of question you could ask if Man United or Tottenham are gonna one of them are gonna win the Europa League, and you look at the disastrous season that they've both had, would you consider it a success? The answer is always going to stay the same. Yes. Winning any bit of silverware is always a success. I get it's less games and you play it through like the there's not as many games in the competition, but for me, Aberdeen walking out with European football and the Scottish Cup. It'd be hard to say that that wasn't a success. I don't know how you could argue that it wasn't. So yeah, no, I would bear that a success, but at this present moment, it's not been so far.
Yeah, and they've still got the easy task of beating Celtic in a final at Hampden, which they've not done for, so I don't think, my lifetime, which I've just touched wood after I said
Was
that.
it 84, I think?
I think it must have been on this day, like the other day, because I think it came up on my Twitter, something like that. They've not won, I don't think they've won a final at Hampden since. Probably since then as well. I think no, they won 1-91, but going off on a bit of a tangent. Dominic, your biggest flop of the season?
As a collective, I'd probably say Hearts and Aberdeen, between either Hearts or Aberdeen. Obviously, because of their position, if you look back at last year and how where they are now in terms of the league. So yeah, I would say probably Hearts or Aberdeen in terms of as a collective. But if you were thinking of like a particular player, I would say probably either Proper or Barami from that play for Rangers, I would say. In terms of the money that's spent for the two of them, and they've not really kind of made a good impression, I feel, especially being a bit Proper. Sometimes just came on, he's been a bit shaky at the back, and Barami, I don't think's really kind of cemented his spot in the team, even though they've spent, a good £3 million from like Italy for him. So yeah, it doesn't really look good on paper when you're spending, especially when at this point Rangers don't have maybe as much money as what Celtic have to spend, and they're paying three collectively like £3-5 million for two players, and they're not an automatic like first team starter.
No, I agree. I think you're right to say about Proper and Bayrami. I know Bayrami got a cup final goal, but ultimately that led to nothing. From my flop, well, you've gave me an open goal to just say Rangers as a collective. I thought one of yous would have said that as well, but I'm going to try go away. I think it would be too much of a open goal to just say Rangers are the biggest flop of the season as a collective. Because at the end of the day, they still have finished second. I know it's not good enough for them. I'm going to go a bit niche. My flop of the season goes to St Johnstone, and it's only for letting them begin. And this will tell you how long the season feels. They begun the season with Craig Levein in the dugout, so that sets you back so many weeks. So, and there's no surprise that they get relegated. And in the end, they never even get relegated by that many points. So there's an argument to be had if Vallacry was in from the start of the season, they could have covered their points, which would have sent Ross County down. So my flop of the season is going to be St Johnstone for deciding to give Craig Levein a job in Big 2025. But
Can I raise a quick question?
yeah, there you go.
Can we do a referee flop of the season?
Yes, absolutely.
John Beaton. The amount of howlers he's made this season. I just want to point that out, that he has made some amount of horrendous decisions all season. The biggest one I'd probably say was the what was it, St Mirren and Aberdeen, where he said he. There was a challenge and he wanted to send off, I want to say it was Gogic, and VAR had to tell him, no, it's not a sending off. And he went, okay, well, he went, I think it is a sending off, but I'll agree with you, but I'm going to book him anyway for it. I remember seeing that and I was like,
Yeah, and it went right through the ball. It wasn't even a, to me, it wasn't even a foul.
it wasn't even a foul. So for me, I just want to raise that right now. No hate towards anyone, but if we're going to call flops out for being flops and fumblers out for being fumblers, send John Beaton up.
I think Alan Muir's worth of consideration as well for the Stefan Carlin Flop of the Year award. End up losing his job because of two high profile errors, but even at that, I still can get behind John Beaton being the worst. I think he's absolutely terrible.
I mean, there's been a lot of candidates in for it. I mean, I can't remember who it was, but the Motherwell, The Motherwell and
It was a sending off, Dan Casey. Is that the one
I
you're
was at
talking
the Motherwell Kilmarnock game, and he sent Dan Casey off, and Dan Casey shouldn't have been set.
And
Yeah.
even that get checked by VAR. I know what you're talking about. We
I
could have our
wanna.
own episode on referees, couldn't we? A
Do you
tier list.
remember that episode we had where we were talking about VAR, and then we just went on to this massive tangent of debating VAR and, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? This is a tangent we're going to go off on. Dominic, what were you? Referee flop of the season?
In terms of a referee, at the top of my head, I probably can't think. Apart from, obviously, at the weekend there, we had the was it a goal, was it not a goal? The Rangers and Hibs game. I don't get how it didn't go to, or did it go to VAR? I can't remember at the top of my head.
I think they
But
checked it.
then, like. I don't I mean I can see why, like, was it given or was it that it wasn't.
I think, see, for me, I think it's not a goal, right? Not for the reason that you're thinking. I do think the ball crossed the line, but I think in Bashiri's attempt to clear the ball, before the ball crosses the line, Nico Raskin's got two hands on him and pushing him into the net. So it's a foul for me. So I do think the goal technically should stand because it crosses the line. But for me, it was a foul on Bashiri as he's trying to clear it. So that's kind of my take on it. I'm sure Willie Collum will do his VAR review and, we'll get the full sort of
So
audio on it.
they're saying it's more of a foul instead of it wasn't just to cover the referee's back in a way.
I mean, I don't know if they're saying that. I
Aye.
think that what came out or what was communicated was they didn't have a definitive angle to or conclusive angle to tell if the ball was over the line. From what I've seen, I think the ball is over the line, but the goal shouldn't stand because it was a foul on Bashiri for me. That's what I would be looking at. So it'll be an interesting one. But yeah, Nick Walsh is definitely up there.
What I'm surprised though is, like, when you see it, you've seen it yourselves, like, and especially at the Premiership and or the English Premier League and the Champions League, like, they've got that goal line technology, and they've even got, like, you've probably seen it, it's like a 3D, like a digital kind of, like, and it shows you, like, the ball if it's actually crossed the line or not. Like, I don't get how we can't, have that.
No, it'd be I think like a goal sort of some sort of futuristic goal in technology would be the most smart and shrewd investment Scottish football can make. I think have in a league having VAR before you get goal in technology is absolute madness to me. I think goal in technology. I know it's probably more expensive to have, but I think at the end of the day it's more worthwhile, and it would have proved
Well, they've got it
dividends.
in
I
the
think
Scottish Cup finals.
because it's at the. I think that's because the Scottish national team need to have that for the Euros or something like
Yeah.
that. But if surely you can implement it in at least the 12 Premiership grounds, and then you've got that example. Well, I think that one's kind of clear as day. I think it's more the foul that's subjective before it. Rangers had one at Pittodrie, but never know if the ball was out of play. Celtic at Easter Road if the ball was out of play.
Yeah.
So definitely wouldn't be a waste of money. I think it's probably too well. It is too late to have that into next season, but definitely first season's going ahead. It's got to be something that's got to be on the table, but. Looking at the last award or point we're going to bring up is a more positive note. Kind of the flip side of the biggest flop, it is your biggest surprise. I'm going to start with you, Dominic. Your biggest surprise of the season? Any particular result, team, anything?
It's probably not a big shock, but I would say Hibernia. Don't know if you guys have maybe picked the same team, but finishing third, especially from the season before where they were like seventh. I was looking at their stats, like from up to like the 7th of December, they'd only won like two games. They drew like six and lost eight. And then from the 14th of December onwards, they were unbeaten in like 17 games in the league. I know there was some big, like a big draw against Rangers, three each. They beat Aberdeen, Hearts, and Celtic and Rangers. So I think they should get a good, like a big shout out there for from where they've been to where they are now, and it's going to be quite exciting to see how they go forward to next season.
No, I absolutely agree. I think my answer is basically the same. To make it slightly different, I'm just going to say in general, my big surprise is David Gray. I think I think I've said on this podcast before, I was never too impressed with his interim spells. I know he never really had that much time in his interim spells, but from what he did, he never seemed like a guy who was an inspiring manager. I know he would be a bit of a motivator when he was Hibs captain back in the day, but as a manager, I never really knew he had that in him, for lack of a better term. And especially when they were 12th with about 4 points, it was just this podcast became how many games has David Gray got? How much more credit has that cup final goal gave him in the bank? So for a slightly different version, I'm really surprised that David Gray, the performances were there in that bad run of form, but the results certainly weren't. So for them to turn it around and stick with him, David Gray is going to be my surprise of the season, and looking forward to next season with Hibs. I think they can do really good things if they manage to tie a lot of the players who are out of contract down for another season or two. Stefan, you agree with the Hibs sentiment, or do you have another one up your sleeve?
No, I would agree with the Hibs sentiment. I think it's been it was a dismal start to the season. David Gray, it did truly become, this podcast did become of, David Gray's on a shaky peg. I don't know how many times I said that back in October, November, December. But since that sort of 3-3 game with Rangers, everything started to turn in favour of Hibs. They went into this massive run of form, almost doing what Aberdeen did in the first half of the season. In reversing what they did in the first half of the season, Hibs sauntered their way through and got to third place, and you can't say that they don't deserve it. So for me, yeah, David Gray, if we want to just narrow it down a little bit, David Gray's jacket was hanging by a peg. And now look at him, he's got them right into Europe, and that didn't look possible 6, 7 months ago. So you can only say well done to him for that. Do also want to just give a notable mention to Falkirk and John McGlynn. Fantastic season in the Championship. They're obviously now coming in to the Premiership. So that'll be an interesting one to look out for. And if I guess if I want to go on just one other kind of honourable mention, I'd probably say Nico Raskin. I think for a long time at Rangers since he came in, he's been touted as this player that can do everything. But through injuries, through spells in the midfield where maybe he wasn't having that sort of connection or chemistry with the people around him, never really found his feet. But this season, he's managed to nail down that place in the Rangers first team and really just carry on and almost been their captain or their pseudo captain. Almost just because of how well he's played and how well he's controlled games. So for me, those would be my kind of two honourable mentions. But yeah, for me, Hibs definitely the biggest surprise.
Yeah, I think if we're going down the line of honourable mentions, I'm going to interject with, I think I've got to say, Simon Murray. I've been shouting his name every week in this podcast, and I think it's 33 to do what he did in such a terrible Dundee team. I think they would have been down without his goals. So for me, he's going to be my honourable mention. And then you've got other players, even Cyril Dessers to a lesser extent. We've seen it from him before in the past. But
Are you gutted that Simon Murray never made the Scotland team?
mate, I'm raging. But I'm also happy to see Keenan Bowie. I think he's been more impactful than James Wilson, if I'm honest. And personally, I know James Wilson as a player, and for these games, it probably makes more sense for James Wilson to be in the squad than Simon Murray, if we want James Wilson to be Scotland striker going forward. But I think if we could have done worse than Simon Murray, but then you don't want to just give away caps for sentiment reasons.
Well, look what we did for Andy Consta
We get that. We got that. We always get that song into it, don't
then. Sadly.
we?
Sorry, I forgot I actually mentioned him, but Sam Dolby plays for Dundee United.
That's a good shout.
Because I didn't realise actually he scored. He's got 15 goals, and when I worked it out, I think that's Dundee United scored 45 goals in the league, so and he scored 15 of them, so that's like 30 odd percent are from him. So that's just like one player scoring like majority of Dundee United's goals. Also looked Ronan Hill maybe be another mention. I know they're at the right at the bottom, going into a playoff with Ross County, but with 12 goals in the league, that's for his first season. I think that's, quite a good first season for the young Irishman.
I think there's a lot of teams. Well, off the top of my head, I can only think of Dundee, Dundee United, and Ross County. But without their strikers, goals are like, where on earth would the rest of them come? Let us, I think, even then, especially if Ross County go down, you don't imagine Ronan Hill being there. And then Simon Murray, he's 33. Will he be able to do it next season? Sam Dalby, he's returning to Wrexham. So strong transitional periods for a lot of the. A lot of sides, but that rounds up today's episode of Scottish Football Covered. I've been Mac, joined by Dominic and Stefan. We'll be back with you next Monday at 4 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts for the last time of the season. Don't forget to join in on the conversation on Twitter at SF Covered and enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you for listening.